Hello, and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. Hello, and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and I'm here to answer your questions and pose my own with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Tim McClure, and I'm here to answer those questions in the most entertaining and enlightening way possible.
Hey, Tim, how are you today?
Chris, I know I'm good. I was gonna call back to something you mentioned many episodes ago about how you like to read. I'm reading a great book, which is unusual.
That's the name of the book?
No, that's the circumstance. So, okay.
It's interesting title. It's not unusual.
It's not unusual in the sense that usually I read books that aren't great. It's unusual in that usually I don't read for pleasure other than on vacation.
I see. What are you reading?
So the book is called The Body: A Guide for Occupants, and it's written by an author you might recognize, maybe Jack knows too. His name's Bill Bryson, who kind of does these compendiums, and it's very kind of lively writing, and it's sort of everything you didn't know about your body kind of thing.
Huh.
So it's fascinating.
You know, you have a sort of a inclination to reference materials. The body, is this going to make it to your shelf of references? You have your dog reference materials, you have your words of the day reference materials, now you have your body reference materials.
Listen, let's set the record straight. I have singular A dog reference material. You are the guy with two books about assholes. I have one book about dogs. This may or may not be reference. It just explains to you kind of how your body works and how we develop, and it's fascinating facts. Like, if you took all of your skin and put it in a pile, it would weigh 15 pounds. I could read this stuff all day.
Wow. That's your largest organ too, is it not?
It is. Absolutely.
Was there any other interesting fact that really popped out?
Well, I'm only a couple chapters into it, but how about this? Your skin cannot sense moisture. It only senses temperature, which is sometimes when you sit in the wet grass, you have to use your brain to derive that it's wet, because all your skin can tell you is that it's cold. And sometimes cold equals wet.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So we cannot detect moisture on the skin?
No.
Huh.
We don't have moisture sensors. We have temperature sensors.
Yeah. Huh. So if it was 98.6, the water that touches your skin, we would not be able to sense that.
100%, which brings us back to one of your favorite hobbies back in the 60s, the sensory deprivation chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those? It was like salt water. It was sort of body temperature. And then literally you would float and you would not have any sensation of place.
Right. Apparently that was a torture as well. If you extended it. If you extend the deprivation.
Somebody turned the lights off and left for the weekend. Hey, I'm in here. Still in here. That's not good.
Hello. There was one in Chicago on like Lincoln Avenue not that long ago. Might still even be there.
No, I don't think it's there anymore. But I also thought there was a problem with because the water, you know, it had to be highly salinated. But the water got, you know, people laying in it, you know what I'm saying? And so you had to clean it out with some regularity, and I think that sort of made it difficult as a business model.
Yeah, maybe problematic. I love Jacko and all Uncle Bernie with the full Lincoln Avenue. I love that.
That's true. But I do remember that. But I didn't want to. It's like hot tubs. I don't like hot tubs. Do you guys go in a hot tub? I don't go in a hot tub. That's human soup.
Gross.
I like a hot tub. Like if we've rented a house on vacation, sort of our hot tub with.
Oh,
I guess
you mean
I'm
if
making
you fill
the,
it up.
I'm making the presumption that it's starting clean, but at least the humans in the soup are just my direct humans. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I understand. If you're filling it up yourself and you're doing it the first, then I'm okay with that. But I'm never going into some public hot tub. That's just.
as a matter of policy, you're out on the public hot tub.
Horrible. You don't know what. No. And yeah, you know, also, I don't go the kiddie pool.
Of course, because of the restraining order.
Oh, there's that. There's wow. That.
Just kidding, listeners. Just kidding. That was expunged.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. What are we talking about today, fellas?
Anyway, I was digressing. Well, it fits what we're digressing. It's 420. That's our theme, 420. When did that come from? Do you know the story behind 420?
I just, you know, I think I've looked into this a couple times and couldn't find a definitive answer. There may well be a definitive answer. Listeners, if you know, please kind of send us a note and let us know. But it's just sort of the universal sort of, you know, smoke them if you got them time.
Yeah, it's 420, 420. In fact, it's become very popular April 20th, right? It has become sort of a de facto marijuana day.
Right, so. Because the original 420, I think, was like on the clock, you know, at 420 the time. Yeah. We also, you know, have 420 the date, so yeah.
And it was some reason about 420, you left somewhere at 4, but I don't remember the story.
School, well, school's out.
Yeah, but 420 seems late for school, doesn't it?
I don't know, 3:30 and you meet up at 420. After you get like a snack, I don't know. But yeah, that's one of the reasons. There's a bunch, right?
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's, you know, it's whatever one speaks to you. That's the one you go with.
Yeah, well, this speaks to us. So we got a couple of questions on 420. You ready for this, Tim?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Hey guys, enjoyed your candy ads, which brings me to why I'm writing. I was recently at a reception at a work conference in Las Vegas with one of my new employees. She stepped outside to get some air, and I eventually did as well. It turns out she was smoking, in quotes, a joint.
Brothers.
I know. I didn't know what to say, so I just turned around and went back in. She comes in and makes a beeline for the buffet. I mean, she's literally grazing with these glassy-eyed look on her face. Okay. Mary Jane is legal in Nevada. The company, I guess his company, doesn't have any stated policies about its use outside of the workplace. I checked. Do I talk to her or do I just give her a pass? Signed, Taking the High Road in Durham. This guy's funny.
He's very funny. I love a joint. A marijuana joint. Cigarette. Like, in case you didn't know what he was talking about. Oh, there's so much in here. Real quick, I have a friend, my good friend Dave Hernandez, and I like to say everybody's good at something. No matter what, right? Everybody's got a strength. And Dave Hernandez's strength was that he could imitate the sound you might hear from your partner if you were scuba diving. I can't do it. But it's, you know, that like that sort of half Darth Vader where the regulator's going off. I'm holding here a cup of water. Listen to this real quick. Apparently, there's a thing called a water bong that some people smoke their marijuana in. And it sounds like that. If you use one, this is what
I've
been
told.
It's like a
hookah.
Right. That's exactly right. So roots in the ancient world, very convivial community building. Anyway, I digress.
Bongs are great.
Jack's on record. Bongs are great,
people. They're meat free. Careful, though. They're meat free.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no beef gelatin in there.
Don't smoke a bong. If you've never smoked weed, don't smoke a bong as your first try.
Yes. Oh, because it cools the smoke.
Because it'll just blow your head off. You'll just be wanting to go to the hospital.
Yeah. There's no.
But yeah, supposedly it filters, the water filters the smoke. But it also, you know, the chamber, you can fill that with smoke, and then you pull a carb out, and all the smoke hits you at once. So you have like it all hits you at once. So that's like, it's two great ideas in one.
Chris, Jack is the Bill Nye, the science guy of bongs.
He is the science guy of bongs.
That's I think I may awesome. More be like the Rube Goldberg of bongs.
Oh, we love Rube Goldberg and those overly complicated, you know, that we like listeners, you know, where like the candle flame burns through the string and then the boot swings down and it kicks the thing and the bowling ball lands on the whatever it is. You know,
that used
to
be my favorite game when I was a really little kid, Mousetrap.
Oh, good game. So,
remember Mousetrap? Where it was a fun game. That was fun. But anyway, I was little.
This is like a stoner conversation. We're wandering way off topic.
This is a stoner conversation. Okay. Nobody's stoned.
So let's come back.
Yes.
First, and that really was just a fake bong sound because, again, as I've been told, that is what it sounds like if you're using one. Couple things here. This person, High Road in Durham, talks about one of my new employees, right? So this is the boss or at least the supervisor. So let's just kind of keep that in mind, right?
My new employee. So I'm guessing that's got to be the boss.
Got to be the boss or at least this person's boss.
Exactly.
A couple other kind of points of reference. He mentions that Mary Jane is legal in Nevada. It is not legal in North Carolina. So if this is taking the high road in Durham, I'm going to make an assumption that this company is based in a state where marijuana is not legal. So now the plot has thickened.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what this person is going to have to decide is, what's my position on this? What am I going to do about it? Right. And he said, you know, the stated policy is that it's not prohibited outside the workplace. Just because you are in a different state, does the sort of the home state rules, do they follow you? You're at a work conference. Does this count as being at work? It's presumably during the daytime. So is that outside the workplace or not outside the workplace? So, you know, how does this particular situation relate to the rules? Because there's a couple things that aren't particularly black and white here. One thing you could do is, you know, if you're, maybe you're the president of this company, that's a different problem. Maybe you're in management and you have peers. You could talk to some of your peers. Hey, has this come up? It's going to come up. You could pose a hypothetical situation to HR because you don't necessarily, you've already kind of reluctant on how to handle this. So it's not like you want to take a hard line. At least that's not the vibe I'm getting. So take a hypothetical to HR. How would we handle something like this? And if you feel like you need to say something, you know, the two choices would be speak to this person one-on-one in private, like, hey, you gotta cool that, save that for after the conference, not during the day or something like that. Likewise, you could have a talk with the team, right? And policy, I know we've got a great article about this that we're gonna share when we get to the gist later on in this episode, but you know, it's doubly complicated as you're going from a state where this is not legal to a location where it is legal. And it's probably just a good to give folks a reminder about that. Hey, just because, and vice versa, like if you're coming from a state where it is legal and you're going to a state where it's not, different rules apply, folks. This is where we're headed. Just keep in mind as a kind of public service announcement for everybody. I've got a couple more things I could say, but Chris, if you finished rolling that joint over there, you have some comments to chime in here?
Well, yeah. By the way, Las Vegas has the largest marijuana store in the country.
Single store, like the biggest, like...
Yeah, the largest in the country, a single store. So it's, so I've been told.
And the, could you give me the address real quick?
The what?
Oh, the address.
Actually, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, every cab in this or every Uber knows it, and so what happens is they are. I think there's an arrangement because they if you ask an Uber, is there a store you can go to? They apparently all go to this place.
Gotcha.
So it's interesting. So anyway, as an aside, now they are in Las Vegas. So what stays in Las Vegas, you know, happens in Las Vegas, stays in Las Vegas. I think if the firm doesn't have a policy, which I don't know if they do or they don't, but this person is in a state where it is legal. And if you're not a federal agency or you're not affiliated with one, then this person, you know, basically is not acting out in a way, and the person is not acting out in a way that's embarrassing the company. Eating at a buffet and having glassy eyes is not necessarily by itself an embarrassment, any different than somebody who's overserved. And overserved, they can be an embarrassment, meaning overserved, they drink too much. So I'm not sure if it's any of your business in the circumstances of where they are, but you did observe it. And that's the key here. You saw.
Well, yeah. I agree with you, other than, right, you know, we're at a work conference in Las Vegas. So this is the ambiguity yes, of the exactly. situation. Like, is this like being at work? In which case, we wouldn't, if they were at home in the office during their lunch break and this happened, clearly there'd be some action to be taken, right? So well, how much of that carries to a work conference, right? Again, is that still work?
If that were a martini in her hand versus the joint, where in the circumstances of where she is, they are interchangeable. So I am
right.
saying,
yeah. My point is, if this is a work conference, if we're here getting our CPEs, and there's mm-hmm. we have a team of 20, and this person's drinking a martini in the middle of the day.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
I'd intervene
that's a violation.
On that too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a violation. No, but I'm saying if they're at a buffet at the end of the day, my guess was here that I'm giving this young woman the benefit of the doubt, saying, look, she's probably knows that she must, I hope that she's cognizant of the fact that you don't do this when you're going into a meeting or when you're going into a conference and you're going to sit and watch people speak or you're going to participate. But it's the end of the day, and she decided to do that of her own volition. I think she has the right to do that. I do think, though, that there's a consequence to that because she's been observed. And I think he should talk to her. When I say talk to her, I think the key here is discretion is the better part of valor. You know this. You might say this. I get it. It's harmless. I see what you did here, but I saw you do this. And the challenge you face is not just me seeing you. Had other people seen you, what they're going to do? And this is, of course, if it falls outside of the company norms in general. Because again, going back to Durham, as to your point, it's illegal there. So if it becomes known, then it's called gossip. And I don't necessarily want you to be the subject of gossip. And so so my point is, to her, I know what you did. We don't have a policy here at the firm. Or if we do, I don't know what it is at this point. And maybe that's something we should want to consider. So my point with her might be talking about her beyond the event and say, is there something we need to consider as a policy for the firm? And would you do some research around that and saying what that might look like? My point is engage her with this as a way of what can we do, as opposed to admonish her or lecture her when maybe lecture isn't appropriate. What
right,
do you think?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that what's becoming clear is there's not enough information in the letter. So I'm completely with you. If the reason they're in Las Vegas is a conference, this is Sunday night, and the conference starts tomorrow morning, that's one thing. It doesn't say. So, you know, the buffet could be the breakfast buffet, could be the lunch buffet, could be the dinner buffet. So my reading, and I made an assumption, and that's not in here, is if it was in the midst of the conference, in the middle of the day, right.
Yes.
And
wrong.
This is
you're
a
exactly
very,
right.
very different kind of thing. The other thing that we're getting into here is there's a matter of policy, and then there's a matter of what's important to you as a leader. There are a lot of organizations that went through this coming out of COVID, where the company may have had we are going to allow our employees to work from home. That might mm-hmm. be the policy. And then running against that are certain leaders, certain managers who say, for my team to be effective, I want you in the office. Mm-hmm. So then that leader's expectation is different, not inconsistent, but different, right, than the firm policy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you've got an opportunity as the boss here, whether that's the president of your company or the head of your group or division or team or whatever it is, what is your stance on this relative to, you know, the work policy, meaning you
yes.
can be more restrictive, but you shouldn't be more permissive than whatever the company policy is going to be.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I just do, because I don't, again, to your point, we just don't have enough of the detail around this to really say right or wrong, you know, appropriate or inappropriate. But I think I still go back to the point of having some kind of conversation with her about, I saw it.
Yeah. I know what you did. Yeah, yeah.
I know what you did.
You didn't offer me any.
That's
so rude. Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is the topic. It's very tricky. There are always analogies drawn to drinking when this comes up, which is appropriate, sort of, right? Because drinking is federally legal. Different states might have different age limits on the legal drinking age. You know, there are some states that a child, like a 9-year-old, can order a beer as long as they're dining with their parents and their parents know it's happening. I want to say it's Ohio. I apologize if I'm slandering Ohio.
Like that. Yeah, the UK is like that too. You can, at a restaurant at dinner, at like 15, you can have a drink with your parents.
Yeah, but we're still a little bit Wild West with respect to marijuana, even where it's, you know, it's legal in a bunch of states, but you're still not participating in the banking system. There's still kind of van loads of cash being moved around. It's complicated.
It's really, they got to fix that. That's really, they've made a lot of taxes here. I guess in Illinois, we've reaped quite a bit of tax benefit as a consequence of, you know, legalization.
The other thing that's interesting about kind of drawing those parallels, I have a lot of friends, I think I've talked about this. I have kids in high school, a freshman and a senior. And I have a lot of friends who have kids roughly similar ages. And, you know, my cohort, and this is a generational thing, maybe this will be in the update to your book, Chris, where at a barbecue or if I'm at a ball game, I have absolutely no problem drinking a beer or having a glass of wine at dinner in front of my kids. But there are a whole group of people I know who just don't feel comfortable using marijuana, even if they're in a state where it's recreationally legal, in front of their kids. And I think it's sort of, you know, when did you come of age and what were the rules when you came of age for something sort of feeling taboo, even if it doesn't have to be anymore?
Yeah, I think, to your point, I think your kids will, when they are parents, will have a very different view of all of this. It will have passed. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I think that's we're getting to there. Are you allowed to get high inside of any places? Is that you know what I'm saying? Is that legal anywhere? I know it's.
Oh, you mean like a public place?
Yeah, it's like are there restaurants or bars or anything or I know that you can do it at a concert, but only because it's unlikely to be thrown out. But
yeah, that's sort of undetected, not necessarily overtly allowed.
I know if you're a congressperson, apparently you can vape and make noise in theaters.
Many dispensaries, we've done some research in this, and some people were kind of tangentially involved in the business, and a lot of the dispensaries, at least early on, and maybe it's different by state, would go out of their way to let you know, you can buy this here, you can't use it here, we're not selling lighters, or, you know, sort of, you've got to leave the premises with this. This isn't a place for you to, you know, sit down and catch a buzz here. We don't do that. So there's at least initially, or at least in some places, there is a separation of purchase versus use.
Yes, I've seen that. The other thing I thought was interesting, where are the marijuana sommeliers? I think that's going to be there's got to be a job.
Oh my God, like, you know, bud tenders are a thing.
Bud tender.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Bud tender.
Oh yeah, they know all about it. I mean, more than sommeliers sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a whole.
Oh, it already exists.
Oh, it does exist.
But they'll hook you up.
there's a gig. There's a gig, Jack. A sommelier of.
Not for me. I don't know anything about it. But there are people that, you know, craft their whole life around different.
I can believe that.
Yeah, right. All the different strains and flavors and, you know, hybrids. It's cool.
No, well, I think, you know,
some of that is real. This exists, you know, in so many places. Coffee is a great example. You know, you get to kind of get these tasting notes, hints of chocolate and plum, you know, a whiff of tobacco, whatever. And you kind of read that and you're like, yeah, this is good coffee. I'm not getting any of that. Maybe it's my unrefined palate. So, you know, some of this, you have your classic sort of, you know, your indica sativa hybrid, so I'm told, and then you've got all these different sort of tasting notes and use case recommendations about, you know, if you need to clean your bathroom, then, you know, purple kush is what you need, you know, and sort of,
we should be fishing for sponsors.
I mean, if I'm wasting my weed cleaning my bathroom, I'm rich as balls.
Well, I see a future sponsor coming up here.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, in the interest of you know, maintaining brand integrity, rather than fish for sponsors, I was just curious, do either of you have a like a go-to guilty pleasure snack if however they should happen to come upon you, if you found yourself in the need of munching on something, do you have a, like a go-to that you like?
I do. I mean, I you know what I there's a number of things I like, but one of the things I snack on is peanut butter and crackers. I just love peanut butter. I just
prepackaged or you're assembling?
No. I do my own assembly. The prepackaged ones I can't have because I have a gluten out. So, but if I can get gluten-free crackers and peanut butter, I love that. Cashews chunky, is number two.
Chunky or creamy?
I like creamy, but I will do chunky. You know, it's just it's kind of a mood thing. Huh. What's your go-to snack?
I'm going to say any port in a storm. What I think happens is I reframe portion size. So you're that big bag of Doritos, that's a single serving now. You know, that's more my thing.
I used to like Doritos. I quit eating Doritos, but I like them. Yeah. Jack, yeah, you got a go-to?
That's funny about the bag size. It's like my wife is from her family when they grew up. It was like if you opened a bag of chips, that bag of chips was like gone. Like they didn't have chip clips in their house.
Unnecessary.
It was like you'd never see that. And I came from you would like squirrel away. Like a bag of pretzels would last like, you know, 3 weeks. But
well, I put everything in a bowl. If I'm having chips or something, or peanuts or cashews or anything, I put it in a bowl and I put it in a small
bowl. That's like sacrilegion to my brother-in-law because that's like you're just making another bowl you have to clean. It's called we have something called the bachelor life. It's BL. It's where you like don't waste any unnecessary dishes or plates. It's like if it can go from the chili pot like into your mouth, that's like ideal.
No portion
to serve
control.
A bowl just for the chips already come in a bowl, but it's the bag. The bag is the bowl.
There's another aspect of bachelor life, which is sort of like no unnecessary movement. So if you put something in the microwave, you just hit 111 because that's faster than 100. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of keep pounding that one button for your timer.
All your leftovers should have a fork with them in with the leftovers so you could just go right to the fridge and eat like a meal just standing at the fridge with that fork. And when you're done, you just put the fork back in with the food.
I like your wife's family. We had we had some friends over not that long ago, and they had bought a bottle of wine, and they said, do you have a screw puller, you know, whatever you call that thing that you pull the cork out with? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, it's over in the drawer. And they opened the drawer, and they said, what's this? And I said, that's a wine stopper. And they said, what do you do with that? I said, well, if we open a bottle of wine and when we don't finish it, we put the stopper in it, and then you kind of finish it the next day. And this whole concept was lost on this person. Like, if you don't finish, what do you mean? It was that you know, you open this, you're drinking this, maybe you're opening another one, but there's no like, well, it will save the rest for later, you know? So that's kind of funny.
That is funny. That's funny. Well, I see I'm all about portion control. So that way I can control, I minimize sort of, because you can get lost in the bag. I mean, you could just go on and on. And by the way, I don't think they're as good as you get further down. Meaning, you know what I'm saying? Now it's
except
just chewing.
Except for like Doritos, except for like those seasoned ones where the bottoms are like nuclear covered with the seasoning.
Well, there's that.
Wonderful.
But you know, I know what you're saying, Chris. It's like an ice cream cone. It's like 40 licks in and you're kind of like numb to it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you're just like, whatever.
And it looks sad if you open a gallon of ice cream and just place it in front of you.
That's why there are pints.
Looks sad.
The pint or the Ben and Jerry's size. What size is that?
That's a pint. That's a pint. That's a lot though. That's a lot. I would put that in a bowl. I would do that in a bowl. I get three out of that.
That's borderline single serving.
So you just scoop the whole pint into a bowl. And it just looks classy.
Classy. So classy. Then I photographed myself.
San Diego style ice cream eater. You're saying you don't eat the whole pint is what you're saying.
No, never. Why would? No. I would have a portion of that.
Three times out of a pint. A third of a pint is a Chris DeSantis serving.
That's exactly right. Like I can get those, that Panera soup you buy, you know, that in the little thing. I can get 2-3 meals out of that. Or 2-3, you know. I'm efficient.
Wow. All right.
Well, we digress here. By the way,
the depression.
We're running out of time here. Do we want to quickly go through one more of these? What do you think?
Well, this one, let's go a little overtime for 420 okay. because digressions are, you know, this is how it's going to be.
This is what 420 does.
This other letter fascinates me. Can I read it?
Yeah, sure.
This is from Dazed and Confused in Vancouver. Hello, I'm the CEO of an 11-person startup. I'm probably 20 years older than my oldest employee. We've been working for months on tweaking some software that's critical to our success. After many, many late nights, we've got a working prototype. Now the kids, in quotes, want to celebrate. I've been told that booze isn't their thing, but getting high is. They want to have a party, but instead of an open bar, they'd like a selection of some fine herbs and shrooms. They went to shrooms, these kids. Should I be a part of this or even let it happen? Dazed and confused in Vancouver, north of the border. What are we doing up there?
Well, it's legal up there. It's legal.
Marijuana is legal. Shrooms are not legal, but tolerated. They have dispensary. They have retail outlets, but they are, you know, flagrantly violating the law of the land.
Are shrooms illegal up there? I'm not sure that they are.
Well, according to this article published on CBC from British Columbia, as of March of 22, they were illegal. Maybe something has changed recently, but it was more, decriminalized. We have bigger fish to fry, so you can, they're selling mushrooms out of the banana stand.
Well, they have psilocybin, and they have these guided trips, I guess, they take people on. So I'm not, but if it's illegal. Anyway, we digress already. We know marijuana is legal up there. So that's that, right?
That's that. But again, like it feels to me like there's a difference between, you know, are you tolerating that this might happen versus endorsing/sponsoring, supplying right. this party? Like, I think that feels like a bridge too far here.
I think you're right. By the way, I love this. I love that they want to have a party with him. They want to party with him and they want to do what they want to do as opposed to drink, which is, is their right. It's legal. I do think though, to your point, can't be company condoned in the sense that it shouldn't be on company property. You shouldn't be using company resources. It shouldn't be company money. So if he's going to do this, I think they should go to some other place and he should fund it out of his own pocket. I'm happy to bring the food, this shroom thing. I don't know if I could do that if it's not legal, but
that's the difference, right? Yeah. If it's legal, but say it is legal, just hypothetically, if mushrooms were legal, would it be acceptable to bring psychedelics into a work event?
Well, again, psychedelics have a large, it's a very interesting question because you'd have to say, what is the effect? Because the other things you have to do is they have to get there and back safely.
Yeah, there's some liability here.
Yeah, so you'd have to
But say, you have like a drink tickets at a work event too,
oh, no,
right?
Where I'm with
like
you.
Trying
I'm with
not
you.
To get everybody like too yeah, hammered.
That's it.
Right?
That's
so
it.
So maybe you just have to regulate it so you can't have more than a certain amount.
Shroom ticket? I got a ticket for a cap and a ticket for a stem? This is how this works?
Well, there's many more ways to regulate it now. It's not just like, you know, there could be capsules or chocolates or something like that. It could be a very low dose that you just feel like a little euphoric and it's not like you're losing your mind.
Suppository. Yeah.
I don't see great harm in this if they can orchestrate in a place that is, again, I'm not sure they can go anywhere because you can't do this indoors unless they go to someone's home. But I don't think it can be company funds. I think it has to come out of his pocket if he wants to pay for. And my opinion would be BYOB and I'll bring all the food. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would do.
I mean, yeah.
BYOB. Yeah. Bring your own buds. Bring your own buds.
Yeah, well, that, but you got to be careful because if even if it's, you know, bring your, like, where does it stop? The kids, they want to do pot, they want to do mushrooms, they'd like to have cockfighting. What else are we doing here? Like, I mean, we're going to have some child labor, make a t-shirt for us. Like, just because they want to do it doesn't mean we need to be, you know, endorsing this. I think let's have a party, let's celebrate this in the traditional sense. Leave a window if there's an after party and you guys want to have an after party.
Oh,
that's on
your
you
idea. Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I know, you know, people like to relax different ways. This is what the company's doing. You know, take tomorrow morning off, see you at lunch, and thanks for your hard work.
Well,
you know,
if you're really like going down Tim's path, which I like, is look, I would rent some kind of resort area, and I would get them all hotel rooms for the weekend. And then, to your point, Tim, have a party, but don't endorse any of this, and let them take care of their after party on the beach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
everyone put
them in a safe environment, but yes. don't put your brand on this, and you know.
No, let them go to the beach themselves, right? And you know, they can around the campfire and have s'mores.
I think the stigma is changing.
I do.
Over about psychedelics, and there's people that would say that alcohol is a lot more harmful than psychedelics are. It's just that our culture, you know, has a certain viewpoint of one drug versus the other.
But yeah, well, this microdosing, this notion of microdosing is very popular in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Very popular. And so these are all, if these young people are part of some kind of software prototypes, then they're already, I think, keyed into some of this. So to your point, Jack, I think this is sort of going to be more and more apparent or more seen than not.
Yeah, there's a great book, Michael Pollan. He's
How to Change Your Mind.
Right. He's got this book, How to Change Your Mind. And he's a journalist and he, you know, takes the psychedelics, three different or four different kinds of psychedelics, and reports on the experiences he's had and what he thinks. He talks to doctors and experts and talks about all the beneficial aspects of
apparently it works psychedelics. For PTSD, right?
PTSD.
PTSD.
And addiction and all kinds of things. It kind of like, it's described as like, your brain creates these neural pathways where you repetitively, where you have worrying or negative thoughts or addictions, and it kind of like follow these same grooves and you get these habit forming, rituals where you just keep going down the same path and it makes the groove deeper and deeper. And they say psychedelics can kind of like shake up the snow globe and kind of you get a fresh layer of snow on your brain so you can start to make decisions then make new pathways for your brain to go down and you're not kind of trapped in the same
That's interesting. I think
the same thing.
There's a lot of research going on. Chris, I know you like to mock my reference library. Well, I'm holding in my hands right here as I flip the pages. How to change
compendium.
Your mind.
Oh, I was
new science of psychedelics teaches us about consciousness, dying, addiction, depression, and transcendence by Michael Pollan. It's a thought-provoking book, not necessarily, you know, endorsing a course of action, but at least read about it and understand there's changing viewpoints and a lot of benefit to be had. The trick with stuff like this, and Jack, you said snow globe, which made me think about this, is things get dicey when you need to be explicit. So like, okay, weed's okay at this party. Shrooms are okay at this party. There's a guy doing a line over here and this guy's shooting heroin. Like, whoa. You know, like what kind of party is it? And, you know, how we make sure everybody's coloring within the lines of whatever it is that we're okay with versus not okay with.
Yes. Right. Like think about cocaine in the 80s. It's like, was rampant and everybody just kind of did it. It was no big deal. It's like, how is this that different?
Well, I think the other thing here is that he's trying to build camaraderie with these young people. And I think allowing them, on Tim's terms, to have space in which they can, you know, try their buds, as it were, that will build camaraderie. So I don't think he has to condone it either way. He can show up and walk away. He doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to get high.
Yeah, I think that's right. The this is a little bit of the longer episodes, but it's an interesting topic because there are a lot of strong points to be made on each side. It's just when it becomes sort of work endorsed, you got to be careful.
Exactly.
And you got to be thoughtful, which doesn't mean don't do it, just means like kind of think it through a little bit. Chris, you had found this article about marijuana in the workplace. Again, we'll put the link in the description to the episode. But, you know, really what I liked here is they had sort of three levels. One is zero tolerance. We're in a regulated industry. We live in this state. We work for the government. Whatever it is, we do random drug tests. This is not okay for our employees, which, you know, for some businesses is the path they have to take. And you just have to be clear, zero tolerance is zero tolerance. Next level is medical use, meaning, you know, as long as we have a kind of certification from your medical professional that this is for medical necessity, that's okay. And then, you know, as good as this article was, when it got to recreational use policy, it's kind of like, what do you want it to be? By my count, recreational marijuana is legal in 24 states, which is a lot. And I think where things get really tricky is if you're a multi-state employer, right? So right, some of our states exactly. It's legal, some of our states aren't. We have employees who are traveling, you know, what do we do? And the most important thing is be just whatever the policy is, be incredibly clear, make sure your folks know and there's no confusion. So that, you know, they can make an informed choice about what they want to do or not do and what risk that might bring on them if they're, you know, making a personal decision that's not in line with the company policy.
Yes. And I think, though, we should be wrapping this up because I got the munchies.
Open up the door. It's Dave. Okay. That's from a Cheech and Chong movie. Anyway. I remember. Folks, that was, we could talk about, we may have to come back to this because there's all kinds of interesting implications for when personal decisions and workplace intersect, for sure. Not the last time. Next week, we're going to have a really exciting episode. We're jockeying between two really juicy topics, not sure which one's going to come out first. So listeners, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. Thank you, Chris, for sharing your wit, your insight, and your love of, what is it? Chateauneuf du Pape with peanut butter and crackers. These are your favorite snacks. Jack, thank you for producing and chiming in. Great insight. And, you know, we're going to have to make up some bongs or great t-shirts because that's the line of the show. So thank you for that. Thanks, of course, to all our listeners. We want to hear about the drama, the dilemmas, the conundrums you face at work. Send your emails to info@cubicleconfidential.com. New episodes every Wednesday. Hope you all have a great week. Cubicle Confidential, signing off.